bad case of pneumonia.
I don't think it's fire immunity, I said. I've burned myself before. I have a high tolerance for extreme temperatures. Cold, heat. The same thing happened on the Longfellow Bridge when I walked into the flames.
My voice faltered. I remembered that Ganella had edited that video and made me look like a fool.
But you know all about that.
Ganella didn't seem to notice the sarcasm. She absently stroked one of the hammers in her bandolier as if it were a kitten.
Perhaps, in the beginning of creation, only two worlds existed, Muspelheim and Niflheim, fire and ice. Life rose between those extremes. Frey is the god of moderate climes and the growing season. He represents the middle ground. Perhaps that's why you can resist heat and cold.
She shook her head.
I don't know, Magnus Chase. It has been a long time since I met a child of Frey.
Why? Are we not allowed in Valhalla?
Oh, we have some children of Frey from the old days. The kings of Sweden were his descendants, for instance. But we haven't seen a new one in Valhalla for centuries. Frey is Vanir, for one thing.
Is that bad? Surt called me Vanir Spawn.
That wasn't Surt.
I thought about my dream, those glowing eyes in the smoke. It was Surt. Ganella looked like she wanted to argue, but she let it drop.
Whatever the case, the gods are divided into two tribes. The Aesir are mostly gods of war. Odin, Thor, Tyr, and the rest. The Vanir are more like the gods of nature. Frey, Freya, their father, Njord. That's an oversimplification, but anyway, long ago, the two tribes had a war. They almost destroyed the Nine Worlds. They finally settled their differences. They intermarried. They joined forces against the giants. But still, they're different clans. Some Vanir have palaces in Asgard, the seat of the Aesir gods, but the Vanir also have their own world, Vanaheim. When a child of the Vanir dies bravely, they don't usually go to Valhalla. More often, they go to the Vanir afterlife, overseen by the goddess Freya.
It took me a minute to digest all that. Clans of gods, wars, whatever. But that last part, the Vanir afterlife.
You're telling me there's another place like Valhalla, except for Vanir children, and I'm not there? What if that's where my mom went? What if I was supposed to...
Ganella took my arm. Her blue eyes were intense with anger.
That's right, Magnus. Think about what Samira Alabis has done. I'm not saying all children of the Vanir go to Folkvanger.
You put them in a Volkswagen?
Folkvanger. It's the name of Freya's hall for the slain.
Oh.
My point is, you could have gone there. It would have been more likely. Half the honored dead go to Odin, half go to Freya. That was part of the agreement that ended the gods' war eons ago. So why did Samira bring you here?
Wrongly chosen, wrongly slain.
She's the daughter of Loki, the father of evil. She cannot be trusted.
I wasn't sure how to answer. I hadn't known Samira all that long, but she seemed pretty nice. Of course, so did her dad, Loki.
You may not believe this, Ganella said. But I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt. I think you may be innocent of Samira's plans.
What plans? She laughed bitterly.
To hasten doomsday, of course. To bring the war before we are ready. That's what Loki wants.
I was tempted to protest that Loki had told me otherwise. He seemed more interested in stopping Surt from getting my dad's sword. But I decided it wouldn't be wise to tell Ganella I'd been having chats with the father of evil. If you hate Sam so much, I said, why did you let her be a Valkyrie in the first place?
That wasn't my choice. I oversee the Valkyries, but Odin picks them. Samira Alabis was the last Valkyrie he chose, 2 years ago, under what were unusual circumstances. The Allfather has not appeared in Valhalla since.
You think Sam killed him?
I meant it as a joke, but Gunilla actually seemed to consider it.
I think Samira should never have been chosen as a Valkyrie. I think she's working for her father as a spy and a saboteur. Getting her kicked out of Valhalla was the best thing I ever did.
Wow.
Magnus, you don't know her. There was another child of Loki here once. He wasn't what he seemed.
She stopped herself, looking like someone had just stepped on her heart.
Never mind. I swore to myself I wouldn't be fooled again. I intend to delay Ragnarok for as long as possible.
The edge of fear had crept back into her voice. She didn't sound much like the daughter of a war god.
Why delay? I asked. Isn't Ragnarok what you're all training for? It's like your big graduation party.
You don't understand, she said.
Come. There's something I need to show you. We will go through the gift shop.
When she said gift shop, I imagined a glorified closet selling cheap Valhalla souvenirs. Instead, it was a 5-level department store combined with a convention center trade show. We passed through a supermarket, a clothing boutique with the latest in Viking fashions, and an IKEA outlet, naturally. Most of the showroom floor was a maze of stalls, kiosks, and workshops. Bearded guys in leather aprons stood outside their forges offering free samples of arrowheads. There were specialized merchants for shields, spears, crossbows, helmets, and drinking cups. Lots and lots of drinking cups. Several of the larger booths had full-size boats for sale. I patted the hull of a 60-foot warship. I don't think this would fit in my bathtub.
We have several lakes and rivers in Valhalla, Gunilla said. There's also the whitewater rafting experience on floor 12. All in Herjar should know how to fight at sea as well as on land.
I pointed to a riding ring where a dozen horses were tethered.
And those? You can ride a horse through the hallways?
Of course, said Gunilla. We're pet friendly. But notice, Magnus, the lack of weapons, the scarcity of armor.
You're kidding, right? This place has thousands of weapons for sale.
Not enough, Gunilla said. Not for Ragnarok. She led me down the Nordic knickknacks aisle to a big iron door marked Authorized Personnel Only. She slipped one of her keys into the lock.
I don't show this to many people. It's too disturbing.
Not another wall of fire, is it?
Worse.
Behind the door was a set of stairs, then another set of stairs, then another set of stairs. By the time we reached the top, I'd lost count of how many flights. My upgraded in hairy legs felt like overcooked linguine. At last, we stepped out onto a narrow balcony.
This, Gunilla said, is my favorite view.
I couldn't answer. I was too busy trying not to die from vertigo. The balcony ringed the opening in the roof above the Hall of the Slain. The tree Laridur's topmost branches stretched upward, making a green dome the size of Spaceship Earth at Epcot Center. Inside, far below, hotel staff scurried around the tables like termites, getting things ready for dinner. From the outer edge of the balcony, the roofline of Valhalla sloped away, a thatchwork of gold shields blazing red in the evening sun. I felt like I was standing on the surface of a metal planet.
Why don't you show this to people? I asked. It's, well, intimidating, but it's also beautiful. Over here. Ganilla pulled me to a spot where I could gaze down between two sections of roof. My eyeballs felt like they were going to implode. I flashed back to a presentation my sixth grade science teacher once gave about the size of the universe. He explained how vast the Earth was, then described how that was nothing compared to the solar system, which in turn was nothing compared to the galaxy, etc., etc., until I felt as significant as a speck on the underarm of a flea. Stretching out around Valhalla, gleaming to the horizon, was a city of palaces, each as big and impressive as the hotel.
Asgard, Ganilla said. The realm of the gods.
I saw roofs made entirely of silver ingots, hammered bronze doors big enough to fly a B-1 bomber through, sturdy stone towers that pierced the clouds. Streets were paved in gold. Each garden was as vast as Boston Harbor. And circling the edge of the city were white ramparts that made the Great Wall of China look like a baby fence. At the very edge of my vision, the city's widest avenue ran through a gateway in the walls. On the far side, the pavement dissolved into multicolored light, a roadway of prismatic fire.
The Bifrost, Ganilla said.
The rainbow bridge leading from Asgard to Midgard.
I'd heard about the Bifrost Bridge. In my children's myth book, it was a seven-color pastel arc with happy bunny rabbits dancing around the base. This bridge had no happy bunnies. It was terrifying. It was a rainbow in the way a nuclear explosion was a mushroom.
Only the gods may cross over, Ganilla said. Anyone else would burn the moment they set foot on it.
But we're in Asgard?
Of course. Valhalla is one of Odin's halls. That's why, within the hotel, the Inherjar are immortal.
So you can go down there and see the gods, sell Girl Scout cookies door to door or whatever? Ganilla curled her lip.
Even gazing upon Asgard, you have no sense of reverence.
Not really, no.
Without the express permission of Odin, we aren't allowed to visit the city of the gods, at least not until the day of Ragnarok, when we will defend the gates.
But you can fly.
It's forbidden to go there. If I tried, I would fall from the sky.
You're missing the point, Magnus.
Look at the city again.
What do you notice? I scanned the neighborhood, trying to see past all the silver and gold and the scary huge architecture. In one window, rich drapes hung in tatters. Along the streets, fire braziers stood empty and cold. The statues in one garden were completely overgrown with thorn bushes. The streets were deserted. No fires burned in any of the windows.
Where is everybody? I asked.
Exactly. I would not be selling many Girl Scout cookies.
You mean the gods are gone? Ganilla turned toward me, her string of hammers glinting orange in the sunset.
Some may be slumbering. Some are roaming the nine worlds. Some still appear from time to time.
The fact is, we don't know what's going on.
I've been in Valhalla 500 years. And I have never seen the gods so quiet, so inactive. The last 2 years...
She plucked a leaf from a low-hanging branch of Leiridur.
2 years ago, something changed. The Valkyries and Thanes all felt it. The barriers between the nine worlds began to weaken. Frost giants and fire giants raided Midgard more frequently. Monsters from Helheim broke into the worlds of living. The gods grew distant and silent. This was around the time when Samira became a Valkyrie. The last time we saw Odin. It was also when your mother died.
A raven circled overhead. Two more joined it. I thought about my mom. How she used to joke that birds of prey were stalking us when we went hiking. They think we're dead. Quick,
Start dancing.
At the moment, I wasn't tempted to dance. I wanted to borrow Ganilla's hammers and knock the birds out of the sky.
You think there's a connection between those things? I asked.
All I know. We are poorly prepared for Ragnarok. Then you arrive. The Norns issue dire warnings, calling you the harbinger of the wolf.
That's not good, Magnus. Samira Aulabis may have been watching you for years, waiting for the right moment to insert you into Valhalla.
Insert me?
Those two friends of yours on the bridge, the ones who had been monitoring you since you became homeless, perhaps they were working with her.
You mean Blitz and Hearth? They're homeless guys.
Are they? Don't you find it strange they looked after you so carefully? I wanted to tell her to go to Helheim, but Blitz and Hearth had always seemed a little unusual. Then again, when you live on the streets, the definition of normal gets a little fuzzy.
Ganilla took my arm.
Magnus, I didn't believe it at first, but if that was Surt on the bridge, if you did find the Sword of Summer, then you're being used by the forces of evil. If Samira Aulabis wants you to retrieve the sword, then that's exactly what you cannot do. Stay in Valhalla. Let the Thanes deal with this prophecy. Swear you'll do this, and I will speak to the Thanes on your behalf. I'll convince them that you can be trusted.
Do I detect an or else?
Only this. By tomorrow morning, the Thanes will announce their decision regarding your fate. If we cannot trust you, then we will have to take precautions. We must know whose side you're on.
I looked down at the empty golden streets. I thought about Sam Aulabis dragging me through the cold void, putting her career on the line because she thought I was brave.
You have potential, Magnus Chase. Don't prove me wrong.
Then she'd been vaporized in the feast hall thanks to Ganilla's edited blooper reel. I pulled my arm away.
You said Frey is about the middle ground between fire and ice. Maybe this isn't about choosing sides. Maybe I don't want to pick an extreme.
Ganilla's expression rolled shut like a storm window.
I can be a powerful enemy, Magnus Chase. I will warn you one time. If you follow the plans of Loki, if you seek to hasten Ragnarok, I will destroy you.
I tried to meet her eyes and to ignore my lungs flopping around in my chest.
I'll keep that in mind.
Below us, the dinner horn echoed through the feast hall.
The tour is over, Ganilla announced. From this point on, Magnus Chase, I will guide you no more.
She leaped over the side of the balcony and flew down through the branches, leaving me to find my own way back, without GPS.
Chapter 22. My friends fall out of a tree. Fortunately, a friendly berserker found me wandering through the spa on the 112th floor. He'd just gotten the gentleman's pedicure. Just because you kill people doesn't mean your feet should, and was happy to lead me back to the elevators. By the time I reached the feast hall, dinner was underway. I navigated toward X, who was hard to miss even in the huge crowd, and joined my hallmates from floor 19. We traded stories about the morning's battle.
I hear you used Alcedar, Halfborn said. Impressive!
I'd almost forgotten about the energy blast that had knocked everybody's weapons away.
Yeah, what exactly is Alfsader?
Elf magic, Mallory said.
Sneaky veneer-style witchcraft unfit for a true warrior.
She punched me in the arm.
I like you better already.
I tried for a smile, though I wasn't sure how I'd managed to wield elf magic.
As far as I knew, I was not an elf. I thought about the way I resisted extreme temperatures, and the way I'd healed Ganilla in the elevator. Was that Alfsader too? Maybe it came from being a son of Frey, though I didn't understand how the powers were related. TJ complimented me on taking the crest of the hill. X complimented me on staying alive longer than 5 minutes. It was good to feel like part of the group, but I didn't pay much attention to their conversation. My head was still buzzing from the tour with Ganilla and the dream of Loki at the throne of Odin. At the head table, Ganilla occasionally murmured something to Helgi, and the manager would scowl in my direction. I kept waiting for him to call me up and put me on grape-peeling duty with Hunding, but I guess he was contemplating some better punishment.
"Tomorrow morning," Ganilla had warned, "we will have to take precautions."
At the end of dinner, a couple of newbies were welcomed to Valhalla. Their videos were suitably heroic. No Norn showed up. No Valkyries got banished in disgrace. No butts were shot with squeaky arrows. As the crowds filed out of the feast hall, TJ clapped me on the shoulder.
"Get some rest. Another glorious death tomorrow."
"Yippee," I said. Back in my room, I couldn't sleep. I spent hours pacing around like a zoo animal. I didn't want to wait for the Thane's judgment in the morning. I'd seen how wisely they judged when they exiled Sam. But what choice did I have? Sneak around the hotel randomly opening doors, hoping to find one that led back to Boston? Even if I succeeded, there was no guarantee I'd be allowed to go back to my luxurious life as a homeless kid. Ganilla or Surt or some other Norse nasty might track me down again.
"We must know whose side you are on," Ganilla had said.
I was on my side. I didn't want to get wrapped up in some Viking doomsday, but something told me it was too late. My mom had died 2 years ago, around the same time a bunch of other bad stuff was breaking loose in the Nine Worlds. With my luck, there was a connection. If I wanted justice for my mother, if I wanted to find out what had happened to her, I couldn't go back to hiding under a bridge. I also couldn't keep hanging out in Valhalla, taking Swedish lessons and watching PowerPoint presentations on killing trolls. At about 5 in the morning, I finally gave up on sleeping. I went to the restroom to wash my face. Clean towels hung on the rod. The hole in the wall had been repaired. I wondered if it had been done by magic, or if some poor schmuck had had to fix it as a punishment from the Thanes. Maybe tomorrow I'd be the one plastering drywall. I walked to the atrium and stared at the stars through the trees. I wondered what sky I was looking at, what world, what constellations. The branches rustled. Something dark and man-shaped toppled out of the tree. He landed at my feet with a nasty crunch.
"Ow!" he wailed. "Stupid gravity!"
My old buddy Blitz lay on his back, moaning and cradling his left arm. A second person dropped lightly to the grass. Parth, dressed in his usual black leather clothes and candy-striped scarf. He signed, "Hi." I stared at them.
"What are you... how did you..."
I started to grin. I'd never been happier to see anyone.
"Arm!" Blitz yelped. "Broken!"
"Right." I knelt, trying to focus. "I might be able to heal this."
"Might?"
"Wait, did you get a makeover?"
"You're asking about my wardrobe?"
"Well, yeah." I'd never seen Blitz look so nice. His chaotic hair had been washed and combed back. His beard was trimmed. His Cro-Magnon unibrow had been plucked and waxed. Only his zigzag nose had not been cosmetically corrected. As for the clothes, he'd apparently robbed several high-end boutiques on Newbury Street. His boots were alligator leather. His black wool suit was tailored to fit his stocky 5'5" frame and looked lovely with his dark skin tone. Under the jacket, He was rocking a charcoal paisley vest with a gold watch chain, a turquoise dress shirt, and a bolo tie. He looked like a very short, well-groomed African-American cowboy hitman. Hearth clapped to get my attention. He signed, "Arm. Fix?" "Right, sorry." I placed my hand gently on Blitz's forearm. I could feel the fracture under the skin. I willed it to mend. Click! Blitz yelped as the bone moved back into place. "Try it now," I said. Blitz moved the arm. His expression changed from pain to surprise.
"That actually worked!"
Hearth looked even more shocked. He signed, "Magic? How?"
"Well, I've been wondering that myself," I said.
"Guys, don't take this the wrong way, because I'm really glad to see you. But why are you falling out of my trees?"
"Kid," Blitz said, "for the past 24 hours, we've been climbing all over the World Tree looking for you. We thought we found you last night, but..."
"I think you might have," I said. "Just before dawn, I heard somebody moving in the branches." Blitz turned to Hearth.
"I told you that was the right room!"
Hearth rolled his eyes and signed too fast for me to read.
"Oh, please," Blitz said. "Your idea, my idea, it doesn't matter. The point is, we're here and Magnus is alive. Well, technically he's dead, but he's alive, which means the boss might not kill us."
"The boss?" I asked. Blitz developed a tick in his eye.
"Yeah, we have a confession to make."
"You're not really homeless," I said. "Last night, one of the Thanes saw you guys on video and..."
"Video?" Hearth signed.
"Yeah. Valkyrie vision. Anyway, this Thane called you a dwarf and an elf. I'm guessing..." I pointed at Blitz.
"You're the dwarf?" "Typical," Blitz grumbled. "Assume I'm the dwarf because I'm short."
"So you're not the dwarf?" He sighed.
"No, I'm the dwarf."
"And you..." I looked at Hearth, but I couldn't even make myself say it. I'd hung out with this guy for 2 years. He'd taught me curses in sign language. We'd eaten burritos out of trash cans together. What kind of elf does that?
E-L-F.
Hearth signed the individual letters. Sometimes spelled A-L-F. "But you guys don't look that different from humans."
"Actually," Blitz said, "humans don't look that different from dwarves and elves."
"I can't believe I'm having this conversation, but you're not that short. Like, for a dwarf. You could pass for a regular short human."
"Which I've been doing," Blitz said, "for 2 years now. Dwarves come in different sizes, just like humans. I happen to be a Svartalf."
"A fart elf?"
"Gah, clean your ears, kid. A Svartalf. It means dark elf. I'm from Svartalfheim."
I just thought you said you're a dwarf."
"Dark elves aren't actually elves, kid. It's, what do you call it? A misnomer. We're a subset of dwarves."
"Well, that certainly clears things up." Hearth developed a faint smile, which for him was the equivalent of rolling on the floor laughing. He signed, "Fart elf." Blitz pointedly ignored him.
"Svartalfs tend to be taller than your average Nidavellir dwarves. Plus, we're devilishly handsome. But that's not important right now. Hearthstone and I are here to help you."
"Hearthstone?" Hearth nodded. "My full name. He is B-L-I-T-Z-E-N.
"Kid, we don't have much time. We've been watching you for the last 2 years trying to keep you safe."
"For your boss?"
"That's right."
"And who is your boss?"
"That's classified, but he's one of the good guys. He's the head of our organization, dedicated to delaying Ragnarok as long as possible. And you, my friend, have been his most important project."
"So, just taking a wild guess here, you're not working for Loki?"
Blitzen looked outraged. Hearth signed one of those curses he'd taught me.
That was uncalled for, kid.
Blitzen sounded genuinely hurt.
I dressed up like a homeless person every day for 2 years for you. I let my personal hygiene go to Helheim. You know how long I had to stay in the bubble bath every morning to get the smell out?
Sorry. So, were you working with Samira, the Valkyrie? Another curse sign from Hearthstone. The one who took you? No. She made things hard for us. Actually, the literal signs were more like, her, took, you, made, difficult, us. But I'd gotten fairly good at interpreting.
You weren't supposed to die, kid, said Blitzen. Our job was to protect you. But now, well, you're an Inherhi. Maybe we can still make this work. We've got to get you out of here. We have to find that sword.
Let's go then, I said.
Now don't argue, Blitzen said. I know you're in Warrior's Paradise and it's all very new and exciting.
Blitz, I said sure. The dwarf blinked.
But I had this whole speech prepared.
No need. I trust you. The strange thing? I was telling the truth. Maybe Blitzen and Hearthstone were professional stalkers who'd been keeping an eye on me for a top-secret anti-Ragnarok organization. Maybe their idea of protecting me involved attacking the Lord of the Fire Giants with cheap plastic toys. Maybe they weren't even the same species as me. But they'd stuck by me while I was homeless. They were my best friends. Yes, that's how messed up my life was.
Well then?
Blitzen brushed the grass from his paisley vest.
We'll just climb back into the world tree before...
From somewhere above, an explosive yap reverberated through the room. It sounded like a rabid 6,000-pound Boston Terrier choking on a mammoth bone. Hearthstone's eyes widened. The sound was so loud he'd probably felt the vibrations through his shoes.
God's almighty!
Blitzen grabbed my arm. Together with Hearthstone, he pulled me away from the atrium.
Kid, please tell me you know another way out of this hotel, because we aren't using the tree.
Another yap shook the room. Broken branches tumbled to the floor.
What's up there?
I asked, my knees shaking. I thought about the Norn's prophecy, naming me a harbinger of evil.
Is it the wolf? Oh, much worse, Blitzen said. It's the squirrel.
Chapter 23. I recycle myself. When someone says, "It's the squirrel," you don't ask questions. You run. The barking alone was enough to scare the mead out of me. I grabbed my hotel-issued sword on the way out. Since I was wearing green silk Valhalla pajamas, I doubted I would need it. If I had to fight anyone, they would die laughing before I ever drew the blade. We burst into the hallway to find TJ and Mallory already standing there, bleary-eyed and hastily dressed.
What was that sound?
Mallory scowled at me.
Why do you have a dwarf and an elf in your room?
Squirrel!
Blitzen yelled, slamming my door shut. Hearth said the same thing in sign language, a gesture that looked disturbingly like a set of mandibles rending flesh. TJ looked like he'd been slapped across the face.
Magnus, what have you done?
I need to leave the hotel. Now. Please don't stop us.
Mallory cursed in what was maybe Gaelic. Our little hallway group was a veritable United Nations of cussing.
We won't stop you, she said. This is going to get us laundry duty for a decade, but we'll help you.
I stared at her. Why? You've known me less than a day.
Long enough to know you're an idiot, she grumbled.
What she's trying to say, TJ offered, is that hallmates always protect each other. We'll cover your escape.
The door of my room shook. Cracks spiderwebbed from the nameplate. A decorative spear fell off the wall of the corridor.
X!
TJ called.
Help!
The half-troll's door exploded off its hinges. X lumbered into the hallway as if he'd been standing just inside, waiting for the call.
Yes?
TJ pointed.
Magnus's door! Squirrel!
Okay.
X marched over and shoved his back against my door. It shuddered again, but X held firm. Enraged barking echoed from inside. Half-born Gunderson stumbled out of his room, wearing nothing but smiley-faced boxers, double-bladed axes in his hands.
What's going on?
He glowered at Blitz and Hearth.
Should I kill the dwarf and the elf?
No! Blitzen yelped. Don't kill the dwarf and the elf!
They're with me, I said. We're leaving.
Squirrel,
TJ explained. Half-born shaggy eyebrows achieved orbit.
Squirrel as in squirrel, squirrel?
Squirrel, squirrel, Mallory agreed. And I'm surrounded by moron morons.
A raven soared down the hall. It landed on the nearest light fixture and squawked at me accusingly.
Well, that's great, Mallory said. The ravens have sensed your friend's intrusion. That means the Valkyries won't be far behind.
From the direction of the elevator banks, half a dozen howls pierced the air.
And those would be Odin's wolves,
Halfborn said.
Very friendly, unless you're trespassing, or leaving the hotel without permission, in which case they'll tear you apart.
An unmanly sob started to build in my throat. I could accept being killed by a squirrel, or an army of Valkyries, or even another axe in my face, but not wolves. My legs threatened to give out beneath me.
Blitz and Hearth?
My voice trembled.
Is there any alarm you guys failed to set off?
Not fair, Hearth signed. We avoided the tree mines.
Tree mines?
I wasn't sure I'd understood him correctly. Half-born Gunderson hefted his axe.
I'll slow down the wolves. Good luck, Magnus.
He charged down the hall screaming,
Death!
While the smiley faces rippled on his boxer shorts. Mallory's face turned red. With embarrassment or delight, I couldn't tell.
I'll stay with X, in case the squirrel breaks through, she said. TJ, you take them to recycling.
Yeah.
Recycling? Blitz asked.
Mallory drew her sword.
Magnus, I can't say it's been a pleasure. You're a true pain in the nary. Now get out of here.
The door of my room shuddered again. Plaster rained from the ceiling.
The squirrel is strong, X grunted. Hurry!
TJ fixed his bayonet.
Let's go!
He led us down the corridor, his blue Union jacket over his PJs. I got a feeling he probably slept in that jacket. Behind us, wolves howled, and Half-born Gunderson bellowed in Old Norse. As we ran, a few in Herjar opened their doors to see what was going on. When they spotted TJ with his bayonet, they ducked back inside. Left, right, left. I lost track of the turns. Another raven shot past, cawing angrily. I tried to swat it.
Don't,
TJ warned.
They're sacred to Odin.
We were just passing a T in the hallway when a voice shouted,
Magnus!
I made the mistake of looking. To our left, 50 feet away, Gunilla stood in full armor, a hammer in either hand.
Take another step, she snarled. And I will destroy you.
TJ glanced at me.
You three keep going. Next right, there's a chute marked recycling. Jump in.
But
no time.
TJ grinned.
Go kill some rebs for me. Or monsters, or whatever.
He pointed his rifle at the Valkyrie, shouted,
54th Massachusetts!
And charged. Hearth grabbed my arm and pulled me along. Blitz found the recycling chute and yanked it open.
Go! Go!
Hearthstone dove in head first.
You next, kid, said the dwarf.
I hesitated. The smell coming out of the chute reminded me of my dumpster diving days. Suddenly, the comforts of the Hotel Valhalla didn't seem so bad. Then more wolves howled, closer this time, and I recycled myself. Chapter 24. You had one job. Turns out Valhalla had been sending its recycling to home plate at Fenway, which could explain any problems the Red Sox were having with their offensive lineup. Hearthstone was just getting to his feet when I landed on top of him and knocked him flat. Before I could extricate myself, Blitzen plowed into my chest. I pushed him off and rolled away just in case anyone else decided to drop out of the sky. I struggled to my feet. Why are we in Fenway Park?
Don't ask me!
Blitzen sighed dismally. His nice wool suit looked like it had passed through the digestive tract of a snail.
The doors in and out of Valhalla are notoriously wonky. At least we're in Midgard.
Rows of red bleachers stood empty and silent, uncomfortably similar to the feast hall of the slain before the Inherjar marched in. The field was covered in a patchwork of frozen tarps that crunched under my feet. It must have been around 6 in the morning. The eastern sky was just starting to turn gray. My breath steamed in the air. What were we running from? I asked. What kind of mutant squirrel?
Ratatosk, Blit said. The bane of the world tree. Anyone who dares climb Yggdrasil's branches sooner or later has to deal with that monster. Count yourself lucky we escaped.
Hearthstone pointed toward the dawn. He signed, Sun, bad for Blitzen.
Blitz squinted. You're right. After that business on the bridge, I can't stand any more direct exposure.
What do you mean? I looked more closely at his face. Are you turning gray? Blitzen looked away, but there was no doubt. His cheeks had lightened to the color of wet clay.
Kid, you may have noticed I never hung around with you much during the day.
Yeah. It was like Hearth took the day shift. You took the night shift.
Exactly. Dwarves are subterranean creatures. Sunlight is deadly to us. Mind you, not as deadly as it is to trolls. I can stand a little bit, but if I'm out for too long, I start to, petrify.
I remembered the fight on Longfellow Bridge, how Blitzen had been wearing a broad-brimmed hat, coat, gloves, and sunglasses. A strange fashion statement, especially with the Make Way for Duckling sign. If you cover up, will you be okay?
It helps. Thick clothing, sunscreen, etc. But at the moment,
he gestured to his clothes,
I'm not prepared. I dropped my supply pack somewhere in the world tree.
Hearthstone signed. After bridge, his legs turned to stone. No walking until night. A lump formed in my throat. Blitz and Hearth's attempt to protect me on the Longfellow Bridge had been pretty ridiculous, but they'd tried. Just by being out in the daytime, Blitzen had risked his life. As many questions as I had, as messed up as my life, death, was at the moment, knowing that Blitzen was in danger again for my sake, readjusted my priorities.
Let's get you someplace dark, I said.
The easiest option was the Green Monster, the famous home run blocking 4-story wall along the left outfield. I'd been behind it once before on a school trip. First grade, maybe? I remembered there were service doors under the scoreboard. I found one unlocked, and we slipped inside. There wasn't much to see, just metal scaffolding, stacks of green number cards hanging on the wall, and the stadium's concrete ribs tattooed with 100 years of graffiti. The space had one important requirement, though. It was dark. Blitzen sat on a pile of mats and pulled off his boots. Acorns spilled out. His socks were gray paisley, matching his vest. The socks amazed me as much as anything I'd encountered in Valhalla. Blitz, what's with the outfit? You look so... spiffy. He puffed up his chest.
Thank you, Magnus. It hasn't been easy dressing like a bum the last 2 years. No offense, of course.
Of course.
This is how I usually dress. I take my appearance very seriously. I'll admit, I'm a bit of a clothes horse.
Harth made a sound between a sneeze and a snort. He signed, a bit?
Oh, be quiet, Blitz grumbled. Who bought you that scarf, eh?
He turned to me for support.
I told Harth he needed a splash of color. The black clothes, the platinum blonde hair, the red-striped scarf makes a bold statement, don't you think?
Sure, I said. As long as I don't have to wear it. Or the paisley socks.
Don't be silly. Patterned fabric would look terrible on you.
Blitz frowned at his boot.
What were we talking about again?
How about why you've been watching me for the last 2 years? Harth signed, told you, the boss. Not Loki, I said.
Odin, then?
Blitz laughed.
No, the capo is even smarter than Odin. He likes to work behind the scenes, stay anonymous. He assigned us to watch you and,
he cleared his throat.
Keep you alive.
Ah.
Yeah.
Blitzen shook the acorns out of his other boot.
We had one job. We failed. Keep him alive, said the capo. Watch him. Protect him if needed, but don't interfere with his choices. He's important to the plan.
The plan.
The capo knows stuff. The future, for instance. He does his best to nudge events in the right direction. Keep the nine worlds from spiraling into chaos and exploding.
That sounds like a good plan.
He told us you were the son of Frey. He didn't go into details, but he was very insistent. You were important, had to be protected. When you died, well, I'm just glad we found you in Valhalla. Maybe all isn't lost. Now we've got to report to the capo and get new orders.
Hearthstone signed, and hope he doesn't kill us.
That too.
Blitzen didn't sound optimistic.
The thing is, Magnus, until we talk to the boss, I can't really go into many details.
Even though I'm important to the plan. That's why we can't, Harth signed. What about what happened after I fell off the bridge? Can you tell me that? Blitz picked a leaf out of his beard.
Well, Surt disappeared into the water with you.
It was Surt.
Oh, yeah. And I gotta say, nice job with that. A mortal taking down the Lord of the Fire Giants? Even if you died doing it, that was impressive.
So, I killed him? No such luck, Harth signed.
Yeah, Blitz agreed. But Fire Giants don't do well in icy water. I imagine the impact shocked him right back to Muspelheim. And cutting off his nose, that was brilliant. It'll take him a while to regain enough strength to travel between worlds.
A few days, Harth guessed.
Maybe longer, Blitz said.
I looked back and forth between them, two non-humans discussing the mechanics of traveling between worlds the way somebody else might debate how long it would take to fix a carburetor. You guys got away okay, obviously, I said. What about Randolph? Hearthstone wrinkled his nose. Your uncle. Annoying, but fine.
Kid, you saved lives, Blitzen said. There were a lot of injuries, a lot of damage, but no mortals died. Except you. The last time Surt visited Midgard, it didn't go so well.
Great Chicago Fire, Harth signed.
Yeah,
said Blitz.
Anyway, the Boston explosions made national news. The humans are still investigating.
They're speculating the damage was caused by meteor strikes.
I remember thinking that myself at first, and later wondering whether Surt had been responsible for them all. But dozens of people saw Surt on the bridge. At least one guy caught him on video.
Blitz shrugged. You'd be amazed what mortals don't see. Not just humans. Dwarves and elves are just as bad. Besides, giants are experts at glamour.
Glamour? I'm guessing you don't mean fashion.
No, giants are horrible at fashion. I mean glamour like illusions. Giants are magic by nature. They can manipulate your senses without even trying. One time, a giant made Hearthstone think I was a warthog, and Hearth almost killed me.
No more about the warthog, Hearthstone pleaded.
So, anyway, Blitz said, you fell in the river and died. The emergency services retrieved your body, but...
My body? Hearthstone pulled a newspaper clipping from his jacket pocket and handed it to me. I read my own obituary. There was my class picture from fifth grade. My hair in my eyes. My uncomfortable, why am I here smile. My ratty Dropkick Murphys t-shirt. The obituary didn't say much. Nothing about my two-year disappearance, my homelessness, my mom's death. Just untimely demise. Survived by two uncles and a cousin. Private service to be held. But my body is here, I said, touching my chest. I have a body.
A new and improved body, Blitz agreed, squeezing my biceps in admiration. They retrieved your old body. Hearth and I did our own search of the river. There was no sign of Surt. Worse, there was no sign of the sword. If it's not at the bottom of the river again...
Could Randolph have found it? I asked. Hearthstone shook his head. We watched him. Doesn't have it.
Then Surt has the sword, I guessed.
Blitz shuddered.
Let's not assume that. There's still a chance it's with your old body.
Why would it be? Blitz pointed to Hearth.
Ask him. He's the expert at magic.
Hard to explain in signs, Hearth gestured. A magic sword stays with you. You claimed it.
But I didn't.
You summoned it, Hearth signed. Held it first, before Surt. Hope that means Surt didn't get it. Don't know why the sword didn't go to Valhalla.
I wasn't holding the sword when I hit the river, I said. It slipped out of my hand. Ah, Blitz nodded. That might be why. Still, the sword would traditionally go into your grave, or get burned on your pyre. So there's a decent chance it will materialize next to your dead body. We need to look in your coffin.
My skin crawled. You want me to go to my own funeral? Hearth sighed. No, we go before.
According to your obituary notice, Blitz said, your body is at the funeral home today for viewing hours. The service isn't until tonight. If you go now, you should have the place to yourself. The building isn't open yet, and you won't exactly have mourners lining up outside.
Thanks a lot. Blitzen tugged on his boots.
I'll go talk to the boss. On the way, I'll pop by Svartalfheim and pick up some proper anti-sunlight supplies.
You'll pop by the world of the Dark Elves?
Yeah, it's not as hard as it sounds. I've had a lot of practice, and Boston is at the center of Yggdrasil. Slipping between worlds is easy here. One time, Hearth and I stepped off a curb in Kendall Square and fell into Niflheim by accident.
That was cold, Hearth sighed.
While I'm gone, Blit said, Hearthstone will take you to the funeral home. I'll meet you... where?
Arlington, nearest tea stop, Hearth signed.
Good.
Blitzen stood.
Get that sword, kid, and be careful. Outside Valhalla, you can die like anybody else. The last thing we need to explain to the boss
is two Magnus Chase corpses.
Chapter 25. My funeral director dresses me funny. One good thing about being homeless, I knew where to find free clothes. Hearth and I raided a charity drop box on Charlesgate so I wouldn't have to walk around town in my PJs. Soon, I was resplendent in stone-washed jeans, a hunting jacket, and a t-shirt peppered with holes. I looked more like Kurt Cobain than ever, except I doubt Cobain ever wore a shirt that read, Wiggles Rock and Roll Preschool Tour. The really disturbing thing was that they made shirts like that in my size. I held up my hotel-issued sword. Hearth? What about this? I doubt the cops will like me walking around with a 3-foot blade. Glamour, Hearth signed. Attach it to your belt. As soon as I did, the weapon shrank and melted into a simple loop of chain, which was only slightly less fashionable than the Wiggles t-shirt. Great, I said. Now my humiliation is complete. Still a sword, Hearth signed. Mortals are not good at seeing magical things. Between ice and fire is mist. G-I-N-N-U-N-G-A-G-A-P. Obscures appearances. Hard to explain in signs. Okay. I remembered what Ganilla had told me about the worlds forming between ice and fire, and how Frey represented the temperate zone between. Apparently, though, Frey's children didn't inherit an innate understanding of what the heck that meant. I read my obituary again for the address of the funeral home. Let's go pay our respects to me. It was a long, cold walk. The temperature didn't bother me, but Hearth shivered in his leather jacket. His lips were cracked and peeling. His nose was runny. From all the fantasy books and movies I had devoured in middle school, I'd gotten an impression of elves as noble creatures of unearthly beauty. Hearthstone looked more like an anemic college kid who hadn't eaten in a few weeks. Still, I began to notice non-human details about him. His pupils were strangely reflective, like a cat's. Under his translucent skin, his veins were more green than blue. And despite his disheveled appearance, he didn't reek like a normal homeless person. Body odor, alcohol, stale grease. He smelled more like pine needles and wood smoke. How had I not realized that before? I wanted to ask him about elves, but walking and talking in sign language don't mix. Nor could Hearth read lips very well on the move. I kind of liked that, actually. You couldn't multitask while talking to him. The dialogue required 100% focus. If all conversations were like that, I imagine people wouldn't say so much stupid garbage. We were passing Copley Square when he pulled me into the doorway of an office building. Gomez, he signed. Wait. Gomez was a beat cop who knew us by sight. He didn't know my real name, but if he'd seen a recent picture of me on the news, I would have a hard time explaining why I wasn't dead. Also, Gomez wasn't the friendliest guy. I tapped Hearth's shoulder for attention. What's it like? Where you're from? Hearth's expression turned guarded.
Alfheim not so different, only brighter. No night.
No night? Like ever?
No night. The first time I saw a sunset.
He hesitated, then splayed both hands in front of his chest like he was having a heart attack. The sign for scared. I tried to imagine living in a world where it was always daytime, then watching the sun disappear in a wash of blood-colored light on the horizon. That would be freaky, I decided. But don't elves have stuff humans would be scared of? Like Alf Seder? A light kindled in Hearth's eyes.
How do you know that term?
Yesterday on the battlefield, somebody said I did it. I told him about the blast that had knocked everyone's weapons away.